Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
From the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, and the schmoes know, this is Marvel Movie News, bringing you the most up-to-date discussion and commentary within the Marvel Universe.
Excelsior to you, our merry Marvelites. Welcome back to our 28th show of the year, 2015, 45 and all. What are you giggling at? Because you, What are you doing? All right, get that down. We are the Marvel Movie News, coming to you live from the Danger Room, where we tell you all the news from all the studios and why you should be as excited as we are. Subscribe to us on iTunes at Marvel Movie News, or find us through the Popcorn Talk Network, YouTube.com/Popcorn Talk Network. You can also find us through their website, popcorntalknetwork.com, or you can follow us on Twitter at Marvel News PTN, on Facebook /Marvel News Show. Follow us, like us, enjoy us, talk to us as much as you can. And guys, if you'll tweet a link to our show telling people that the live chat is going on, Jonathan in the booth will retweet you. So that's a special little prize that we can give to you. Anyway, I'm Matt Key at the Matt Key.
I'm your teller to your pen, Meredith Placco.
Yes, very good.
I have no clever rebuttal. I am Bubbles the Monkey.
No,
you're my universe.
You're
Kojandro.
Yeah.
Kojandro.
Oh, did you finally give up your name? Because someone else took it?
No, they're still there. I've been talking to them. They don't respond much, but I try.
He's got two people impostering him.
I've got two fake knees on Twitter, and I try to correspond with them.
You should just become Mojo the Ultimate.
We had a whole Mojo theme before the show started. We're trying. Yeah,
just pre-show banter, guys.
Pre-show banter. And that was the voice of... the good Lord John Schnapp.
What's going on, sweaties?
you have begged for him. We finally got him on, and it's been delightful getting to know you before. Why don't you tell people what you've got going on?
Not a whole lot at all.
You seem like you're a pretty easygoing, slow moving, never having anything going on kind
of
guy.
Slow moving is me. Well, we just got back from Australia. We had a screening of our film, The Death of Superman Lives. Mm-hmm. What Happened? It's a documentary that's not based on a Marvel character. It's based on the Superman Lives.
Almost. In the early 80s, almost.
No, it was actually late 90s. Is when Marvel went bankrupt.
Really?
And DC was almost going to buy them.
Oh, I'm talking about the time when the DC guys went to Marvel and said, hey, we can't get anyone to buy our comics. Do you guys want to take over? That was in the early 80s. And the publisher at Marvel at the time said, now your characters suck. We don't want them. Thank you.
Then it flipped around.
Then it flipped around.
And, you know, if you, any of the super deep nerds have obviously read the Amalgam series, they tried them twice. Yeah, it's like
Spider Boy.
Yeah,
I remember Spider Boy was just everything wrong with the 90s, but it was so right.
What was the X-Men one? I can't remember. Like it was.
It was like JLA and X-Men, I think.
Yeah.
Was it? Oh, it was so bad.
It was special because everyone had so many pouches and
it was so good. Yeah.
Did Rob Liefeld draw it?
Yeah, it was that. But
it was of that era.
No one can move.
Oh, so good.
Darkhold was cool. They made that animated series comic.
There was the animated version of him. That's the second time they were. Let's try it again.
Maybe because Wolverine and Batman's so cool.
Yeah.
That is.
I mean, it's amazing.
And the name Darkhold.
But trying twice, be like, maybe this time it'll stick.
Nope.
Nope. No traction.
Nope.
Frictionless.
Yeah.
Anyway, you got anything else you want to throw out before we get into the news?
Yes. I am going to be doing a whole bunch of Comic-Cons coming up. I'll be at Long Beach in September.
Oh, nice.
And then the
is that a good con? I haven't been yet.
It actually is. I've never actually done the convention. Mm-hmm. I've always just been a patron. And I've always had fun going there. So this time I'm actually going to have a booth and I'll be selling my Blu-rays there. And then I'm going to do the Rose City Comic-Con in Portland, and then
doing
the Salt Lake City Comic-Con in Utah. So that'll be September, and then...
The documentary is awesome, I can say, unbiasedly.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah, so it's been a lot of fun. It's been great to finally get the documentary done.
Yeah,
and then
I can
get
imagine.
The Blu-rays and DVDs made and finished, and then now we've been going on this kind of tour, and just slowing down, and I've just started writing... I've been writing this horror musical, so that's going to be my feature film.
That's so awesome.
And it's a comedy horror musical. It's been a lot of fun. I've already got 3 songs done.
Awesome.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
And then I'm working on a new documentary, so I'm probably going to launch it in September.
Can you tell us what that's about, or is that still close to the vest?
Can I say it's going to involve comic books?
Oh,
it's
going
to be something that's so close to my heart. It was... for me, like making that, the Death of Superman Lives, what happened was my first documentary, and I worked with an incredible small team, a great crew, my producer and fiance, Holly Payne, and a great new friend, the editor, Marie Hamora. Like, we literally worked in a room like three times smaller than this for 8 months, just like editing and re-editing and changing stuff around and figuring things out. So the process of making a documentary is so much different than what I come from. I come from scripted television. Mm-hmm. So, and I've been doing that for 14 years. So
a little show called Metalocalypse.
A little show called Venture Brothers, guys.
A little show that might be one of my favorite shows of all time.
Did a little show called Marvel's Black Panther.
Just a couple little things.
That's awesome, man.
There was an animated one that was based
on... Damon Huntsy, right? Yeah, I've seen it. I had no idea.
Yeah, Jamon was great in the booth because there was a scene where he was like... On his flying sky cycle, his Panther mobile, I can't remember what it was called. But he was like... Come over here. I need your help. And I was like, dude, you're on a cycle. You got to yell that shit. And he's like, come over here. I need your help. And I was like, all right, that sounds good.
That's awesome.
When you're in a booth, sometimes people forget. It's like you have to always imagine what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like that's where I think when if you watch The Phantom Menace, you could tell that none of them are imagining anything.
Yeah, you're just somewhere speaking.
Yes, yeah, so like, I'm talking to something. It's going to be a giant monster. All right. Well, can you describe it? We don't know what it looks like yet, but here's a stick.
Here's a stick with a tennis
ball.
Yell
at the stick.
Like, look, just talk to the stick, you know?
I would love Damon as T'Chaka, like, to nod to that world.
Oh, yeah.
He's so incredible, man.
He was amazing.
So good. He's impossibly good-looking. Like, he's so symmetrical like...
What do you think about the rumors that came out a couple months ago about Ernie Hudson going out for the role of T'Chaka?
I wanted, like, Ernie Hudson to come back in a big way for a long time. Aww. I love Ernie Hudson, man.
I don't have any problems with Ernie Hudson, but not as...
Yeah, he doesn't have that regalness.
Yeah. That was my first thought. I was like, oh, come on, Ernie Hudson, please, yes.
He's all regal. Like, Damon Huntsman is just like, I am this.
When he walks into a room, he's regal. I mean, you're just sort of like, that's kind of like, and I'm sure Ernie Hudson could play it off, and maybe he would be like, you didn't even fucking let me try, motherfucker. Yeah. You know, it's like, I bet he could have blown it out of the water and just everybody would be like, he was amazing. But sometimes that's how acting is. You just get cast on like, all right, you've done these five roles.
Yeah.
Here's the same thing.
Yeah.
People don't want you out of that.
Like, he was homeless and he was discovered because he was like this beautiful man and then he was a model and now actor. Like, that's when you know you have presence. If you're like, look at this man on the street, we should make him a model.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
T'Chaka.
All right, well, let's jump into the news. We've got a little bit this week. We'll be talking D23.
Mm-hmm.
None of us were there, but Meredith was
there,
so she's going to lead the discussion. We've got some Daredevil stuff. We've got X-Men Apocalypse. We will be talking about Fantastic Four, giving our opinions on that. But first, we're going to jump over to Marvel with some Civil War stuff. Tom Holland has been visiting the set of Civil War in Germany. We don't know anything about it except that he's been over there, but just today, Heroic Hollywood dropped news where they are claiming that they are filming a fight scene between Spider-Man and Captain America.
Yep.
Tie into the comics?
It perfectly ties into the comics.
How does Umberto get all these amazing, juicy nuggets?
In his article, he actually referred to his ninjas in Germany, I believe, is what he said. He apparently has the hand.
He's operating with the hand. I totally buy that.
Yeah.
He says international like background extras that he sends out, and he's like, "You look perfect for this background scene. Go to Germany.
Go to Germany.
Just like a little spies, but of like the background variety.
Yeah.
It would work.
Anyway, I'm excited to see that. That was actually in Civil War. That was one of my favorite moments. Was Spider-Man realizing he had to fight Captain America? Mm-hmm. Like the way he talked about it, how he was like, oh my god, I'm fighting this man who I've looked up to for so long and now we're on opposite sides. Like, that was such a great
And it's such
panel,
a pivotal moment for Spider-Man in that series that, I mean, it's interesting because, you know, again, in the movie world, we don't have that history of this Spider-Man. Yeah. So, but we are getting a very rich scene in this movie, so I'm really curious to see how it's going to play off.
Well, again, this is just a rumor, so we don't know if that's going to be
is there a level between, like, rumor and fact that we can put Umberto? Like, there needs to be a new phrase.
It's floaty.
Floaty?
Yeah.
Floaty.
I heard a floaty rumor today. I don't even really
know.
I love it.
Yeah, I heard a floaty today. It's you know what? I'm wondering if he'll be wearing the Iron Spider outfit, because that's what he's wearing when he fights Captain America.
Yeah, that's a good point, because, I mean, if he's been working with Iron Man, that would make sense.
And I've been guessing that, you know, remember they showed all this... Like, you know, Spider-Man's first outfit's going to be kind of like a sweater or a hoodie. Yeah. And I really think that that's true. I think, you know, it's a kid in high school doesn't have amazing sewing abilities, which is one of the things that really bothered me about all the other Spider-Man
movies. Thank you. Yeah.
No,
where did he get that amazing design sensibility? Did that come with a spider bite? You know, so.
Well, spiders know how to spin silk.
There we go.
Spiders know how to spin silk, so he, like, not only did he get all the powers of the spider, but he got the design sensibilities.
This blue and red.
I was
going
to be Seamstress Man, but then I thought Spider-Man would be cooler.
You could tell that Steve Ditko designed Spider-Man, because it's different than every other Jack Kirby design.
Yeah.
So anyway, I think that they're going to go with that the hoodie kind of thing. It makes sense that a kid, if he got, you know, spider powers, would be like doing that.
Yeah.
And then he gets hooked up with Tony Stark, and Tony Stark builds him that outfit.
Yeah.
And then maybe even gives him, like, because you know how he's like, make it red, Jarvis, do that, do spider green or whatever. He's going to just, you know, it'll be made.
Zip, zip, zip. Yeah. I think it'll be that. And then I think he's going to end the movie with his, you know, his iconic suit.
I think post-credit scene Spider-Suit would be really cool.
Yeah, I think that's probably
what's
going
to
happen.
It's a lot of story to cover to get to Iron Spider that fast. Like, it's an incredible amount of, like, three suits, 20 minutes.
Yeah, and it's also called Captain America Civil War. I don't really want Spider-Man to be in it more than 5 minutes.
That's true. It's turning into Batman versus Superman with everyone.
Just everyone is in it. They're everyone. Like, Mark Ruffalo is, I think I'm going to be in it. So, come on, man.
Mark Ruffalo just, like, walks by in the background like, Tony!
Yeah, right?
What's up?
That would be awesome.
I love that.
That would be great if they had one scene with all the Avengers just hanging out.
Like, dude, they just open their eyes,
but their build is like top billing.
They're just all judging Spider-Man. It's all them just like talking crap about Spidey.
It's like the C story is like just cuts back to them. Like, did you see that thing? He did. It's kind of cool.
Yeah. He's like 15. Is he cool? How does he do? How does he get even drink?
But did you see the presentation, the Civil War presentation?
Yes.
Okay, so
I was there for the Doctor Strange and Civil War.
There's
stuff.
A scene that I heard described where it's like, you know, both sides like running at each other.
It's pretty, I mean, you know, we'll get to it a little bit later too, but I will say, I love you, Winter Soldier, but I think Civil War is going to be my favorite Marvel film. Just from what I'm seeing. It's, I think they learned from their mistakes from it. Well, because it's not an Avengers film. It's what Avengers, Age of Ultron should have been in terms of writing and casting.
The Russo brothers are incredible.
They are.
Yeah.
Winter Soldier
is
a game changer.
Just what we saw. Oh, God, I know. I'll wait.
Okay.
I want to talk all about it.
That's fine.
The Russo brothers, they hinted when they came and did a studio visit, and then afterwards, like, I can't say exactly what they said, but I was like, we were just talking about action films, and I was like, you know, that car chase scene in Winter Soldier with Sam Jackson was like, nothing beats the Raid 2 as far as that kind of action sequence cars, but that was like a top close second.
That was so
good. It's really well done. And so we just started talking about action scenes, and they're talking about one sequence that they were like, we're still going to try to attempt it, and it's like very much like a sequence in The Protector. Like, and I was like, what?
I haven't seen The Protector.
Okay, all you need to
Tony check
out
man.
The yeah, Tony Jaa is incredible, and definitely check out The Protector. So
okay. All right.
I loved that I was watching Winter Soldier and literally like leaned back and was like, I've never seen a car chase like this. And I haven't had that experience since I was like 12.
Yeah.
Because
car
chases are so dime a dozen. So the Russo's handling every Avenger ever plus Spider-Man.
Game on.
Take my
take it.
Makes sense.
Well, let's jump over to still on Civil War with we have a picture of Winter Soldier and his full on get up running with Falcon now. So like now they're best friends, like you know, like they've probably been hunting him down, and now they're running together.
Right now.
You haven't seen this? Oh, it's the best.
He doesn't have the spooky eye makeup either.
No,
right?
He doesn't.
He doesn't have the metal arm, but he doesn't have the like. I'm from the Crow.
He's like
the
majestic
the Crow.
Mane.
Yeah,
he's blowing in the wind.
And luckily, he doesn't look like his character from Once Upon a Time. Because he plays the Mad Hatter in Once Upon a Time. Yeah, he's a little creepy. You get a little weird vibe off of him.
I love that he's sticking out his tongue, too. He's, like, running with so much effort. Like, that is, like, some effortful running.
Well, they've been dropping all these cool photos. There's, like, one of Cap up on the top of a roof side running. And then you saw Black Panther.
Yeah.
And when the soldier, like, side scrimping down the wall or something. It's like... What the hell?
Well, have you seen the memes that have come out
from
this? These are a couple of my favorites that
is
I saw
that
yesterday. They're running away from an exploding jet and a Putin.
Vladimir Putin.
And then the next one is, I think, my favorite, where they're running with Rocky. They're in the background.
Oh, my God.
That's awesome.
That's strong.
That's good.
That's really good.
Yeah, so, by the way, Merry Marvelites, if you want to create some memes for us of them running, please do.
I enjoyed those two so much.
Please do, yeah. No, there are a couple others, like running from a giant ant and stuff like that, but those are my two favorites. So
Putin for Norman Osborn.
That's right.
Putin, oh, my God.
Putin leading the Thunderbolts.
Putin is any villain.
Yeah.
Sign me up.
Yeah.
Just riding a bear.
Like, I think every single Bond villain ever has been patterned on him.
They've accidentally based them off Putin, and he's just been like,
they just didn't even know about it.
They took my
thing. Yeah.
Or Putin based himself off of Bond villains.
They just grew up like, they seem strong.
Yeah.
This is cyclical.
So I want to be.
We've got a little bit of a spoiler here with talking about Evangeline Lilly. So if you don't want to listen to this part, skip ahead for just a minute.
Spoilers.
So we're doing this. Evangeline Lilly has been scanned for her wasp suit, which we didn't know about, but apparently, I didn't want to put a picture up. Mm-hmm. Like, they had a picture, but I didn't want to put it up. She said I was scanned for the wasp suit, but then got pregnant. Let's hope I fit it again.
Aww.
So excited. That's not like too much. We already know she's doing it, but just to know, like, they've got her measurements and they're working on it.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
Building it from the ground up.
Is there anything else we want to talk about from Marvel before we jump over to Fox and, start talking about the wonders of the Fantastic Four movie?
This is what everyone's been waiting for all last week. They were like, why aren't the guys here to talk about their thoughts? So I think we have to give them what they want.
All right,
this is rebuilding after that experience.
I know.
Let's jump in. So Fantastic Four dropped 69% at the box office in one
that's
week.
That's amazing.
I think that was more than the Hulk.
Yeah.
The Ang Lee Hulk dropped 59%, and this one was a 69%.
Jeez. And this opened at, like, Ghost Rider 2 levels. It's, like, the biggest flop of the open, and then to drop more.
You know what? Let me say as a precursor before we talk about Fantastic Four, The Man from U.N.C.L.E. made less money.
Which is a shame,
because I saw it and I was like, but I realized why it made no money. It's not because it was a bad film. It's because it was called The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they think that people are like, well, we got this amazing series. It's like Zorro.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody gives a fuck about Zorro anymore.
It's like,
and it's just
deep reference.
Yeah, it's just way too old. And it's like The Man from U.N.C.L.E., no one except for your grandparents saw The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Your grandparents aren't like excited to go to the movies anymore, probably.
Yeah. Like, they should have called it anything else.
Yeah.
It could have been Army Hammer doing Laverne and Shirley. Are you guys in? Let's make this Laverne and Shirley movie.
Let's do it.
Because it was a fun film. And I just think that was, once again, it was like that kind of mishandling, like, oh, it's called The Man from U.N.C.L.E., we have to keep that name. And then when the people who put together the marketing, they didn't know how to market it, so
there was no marketing
horrible
for
trailers
it.
None of the trailers worked, so it was like one of those John Carter sequences, like, where you're like, cut off from Mars because nobody wants to see a fucking movie from Mars. That's the dumbest. I mean, it's just so wrong-headed. Well, look, these Mars movies all failed. Mars needs women. Like, it's just like, you have the dumb, like, I'm 23 and I'm a fucking dumb ad executive who somehow, I'm in charge of everything.
Yeah.
Because people are afraid and shitting their pants, want to keep their jobs. Get him, he was successful last year. And that's how these fucking idiots fall forward into these big jobs where they have decision-making powers, yet have no knowledge.
Yeah.
Or knowledge of history, or no common sense. So they just make these weird decisions. Like, well, from my bean counting statistics, all the films with Mars have been failures, so... If we cut that off and make it sound like, you know, Get Carter or something, you know, it should have just been called Bob Fibbins. It probably would have made more money than John Carter.
Taylor Lautner's abs.
The movie. No, that's
too much.
This is somebody's Lautner fucking
abs.
Dumb name.
Lautner abs.
A name.
Well, and I bet if they just called it U.N.C.L.E., like, with a weird spelling, people are like, that's interesting.
It was really fun.
Or Manfrom.
Guy Ritchie. Manfrom.
Just Manfrom.
Yeah, that's true.
Manfrom where? I've got to go find out.
That sounds like a monster from Jack Kirby.
Yeah.
Manfrom. Came from the...
Manfrom Mars. If it was Manfrom Mars, no one would see it, apparently.
And also, we can't blame any other movie for opening less than Straight Outta Compton this weekend.
That was good.
I
still haven't seen
fantastic.
It.
Really strong film.
It's a fun film.
Really well, I mean, the timing.
Everything I've heard is amazing.
Dr. Dre could not have timed that movie's release.
Yeah, to drop an album called Compton. Oh, there's all time.
Well, he dropped an album called Compton while we're dealing with actual police brutality issues, which need to be addressed in a movie about the NWA. Sign me up.
And what's fantastic is his proceeds are going to build an art school in Compton.
And you know what's weird? Like, a lot of complaints about Straight Outta Compton is like, you know, it's not showing the real violence. It's not showing all the real story. It's like, I think they showed at least MC Ren was like, it's 80% true. It's like, I mean, how much do you want from an autobiography? Look at, like, all these other autobios that are like,
it's
completely
like 2 hours
fake.
And 40 minutes. Like, how do you show more?
A lot of people also were complaining about, like, well, the first, you know, 2/3 of it are great, and the last third, it just, everything fell apart, or it felt like someone else made it, or it just all too fast. And it's like
their life?
Well, no, it's also like, they are not a group anymore. So now we're following their individual exploits, and then, you know, they have to end it somewhere. Yeah. So I liked it. I thought it was a
And
really good film.
And Man from U.N.C.L.E. should be seen.
I agree. I know we're supposed to talk about Fantastic Four, but I had to talk about that. I had so many things to say about Compton that we should do a separate podcast.
Compton, yeah. U.N.C.L.E. podcast.
Yeah, straight out of Marvel.
straight out of Wakanda.
Yeah.
Fantastic Four, what do you guys think? Take it and run.
The lack of second act was troublesome. I've never actually seen a movie where I went into that movie expecting nothing, as I should have, and then I wanted to like it. The first act, I was confused. Like, I'm enjoying this. How am I enjoying this? What's going on? And I was like, maybe I just enjoy Marvel enough. And then the second act wasn't there, and then the third act was so laughably bad, I didn't know where to pinpoint what was wrong. Like, Miles Teller was giving line readings that looked like he was reading off a teleprompter at times. Kate Mara's reshoot wig was so distracting, and the fact that
it was so bad.
We could see which scenes were reshot because of that wig, and the reshoots were like 70% of the runtime. Jamie Bell did what he could with what he had, and I actually tipped my hat for what he had to deal with. And they're all incredible actors. Each and every one of them was so talented, and Michael B. Jordan was neutered. How is the Human Torch not funny? How do you not have the Human Torch drop jokes? And how is Dr. Doom a glowing crash test dummy wrapped in plastic? This is Dr. Doom. Dr. Doom is not a stiff, not moving, like, telekinetic. What was his powers? Why could he explode heads? What happened with everything?
Why could he explode heads and then not explode heads?
How did this explode
heads? Like, he's fighting people, blowing people's heads up, and then he's fighting the Fantastic Four and
not blowing up their heads.
I don't know how he got Omega-level powers. He's not Jean Grey.
No! What did he
do? Yeah, like, he was like, all of a sudden, he became, like, the Phoenix Force. He's just like, I can blow up heads, you can't shoot me.
Well, the green stuff on the planet was clearly spinach, and it was a Popeye tie-in, so when he came back, he had this great year-long nothing made sense, nothing was explained, and the first act had such potential that I almost believe the Josh Trank stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, I actually have faith that it was a different movie.
Well, because it is.
The reshoots were insane.
It doesn't fit together. Like, you know, I went and saw it, like, after everyone had trashed it, and it was, like, at a 9% on Rotten Tomatoes. I was like, well, wow. Here we are. All right, well, and you know, Fantastic Four, for me, it's my first comic. As a kid.
Yeah.
As a little kid, because I was into Monsters and Godzilla, so my dad got me the Fantastic Four, and that was my first superhero comic.
So Fantastic Four was your gateway drug in the comics.
And so I've always loved the Fantastic Four, and I bought all those reprints, Marvel's Greatest Comics. That's why my love for Jack Kirby came about, is like just into that styling of the way comic books were drawn back then. So for me, the Fantastic Four, all of these movies, starting with the Corman one and then the two jokey Tim Story ones. Yeah, I mean, there's parts of all of those movies that are moments that are like, okay, they nailed it.
I can see that.
And you're like, I think in every superhero film, there's like a 1 10-second sequence. Even Dolph Lundgren's The Punisher, there's like 10-second sequence where you're like, now that one moment,
they got it.
Sort of vaguely captured it. The rest of it's garbage. But this one, so I was like, I sometimes buy science fiction films.
Yeah.
I'll buy them just like, I have like a whole bunch of science fiction films that you might consider garbage, but I'm like, yeah, but this one scene.
There's this one part.
Trust me, Brown.
And believe me, I don't have to watch the whole movie. I could watch that one scene.
Yeah.
It's cool and it's in my library. But speaking about the Fantastic Four, this film, like, I went and saw it, like you, with after hearing that, it's horrible, this and that. And then I'm watching it and I felt like, what are they talking about? This movie's pretty good. And I knew that, I knew things are going to fall apart, because I already read, you know, you can't not, especially if you're like, I don't give a fuck about spoilers. I'll read every spoiler.
Yeah.
Then
yeah.
I'll see a movie and judge for myself. I have enough confidence in my own mind to make up my own decisions. But
it falls apart.
In a way I've never seen.
It was a film that was hijacked in its inception. It's a film that, like, the people who are in charge of this film are obviously not the same people who are in charge of the Fox X-Men franchise.
Or Deadpool.
It's a different group of fucking idiot producers.
If they trusted Frank they're trusting Tim Miller on Deadpool, we could have had a great Fantastic Four movie.
It would have been a body horror, different, weird Fantastic film.
A Cronenberg
We got maybe like 7 or 8 minutes of Cronenberg.
And it was beautiful.
And I was like, oh my. Like, after the first act, where you're like, all right, this is like, I don't understand why everyone is trashing this movie. Like, maybe I'm just like a Marvel fanboy, so like I'm biased.
Yeah.
Maybe I came in with lowered expectations, so like I'm not hating it like everyone else who came in like expecting like the second coming, but like, I'm like, this isn't bad. And then, like, they get to the Cronenberg stuff. I'm like, oh, my God, this is intense. Like, where is this going to go?
Yeah.
And it's like, 1 year later. And it's like, oh, Zack Snyder took over the film. Okay. Yeah.
Bye, movie. I enjoyed you.
And yeah.
When we were talking about it last week.
And by the way, that's not a trash on Zack Snyder. He's a good director. But, like, it was just a completely different feel.
Yeah.
It was just a tonal shift. Right. Yeah.
Well, and that was something when we were talking about it last week. You said, and, you know, it was one of those movies that the more you thought about it, the more you hated it.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
no,
it's like,
absolutely it is.
Like, I had to go wash my brain after seeing it.
I went home and watched 2005's Fantastic Four on purpose.
I almost did.
You know what? I think they got Uwe Boll to direct the last third of it, because it was like there was not a different auteur came over and it was like just a they were like, hey, you, what are you doing? I'm sweeping the floor. I'm the janitor. Get over here and direct the rest of this movie and do what I say, because I'm a useless fucking producer. You know, it's like these weird people who've never read comics
before or seen a movie.
They're like, well, it needs to have some kind of action scene. Have Doom like float and then have him yell.
And then blow up faces.
Well, no, it's that whole like thing going back to like the producer who wanted a giant spider in Superman Returns or whatever, and like Kevin Smith was like, "You what? No, no, no."
What I don't understand is how they got such good actors to do such bad delivery of lines that were so badly written that they must not have signed on to that script. I cannot see any of those caliber actors being like, "This will go well."
Well, it's because it got changed. Yeah. I mean,
seeing that transparently was the most apparent use of studio abuse I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Which is a shame, because Fox is killing with Deadpool. Like, I don't understand.
And the X-Men movies are so good, too.
Well, and this is Fox reminding us, like, oh, wait, we still don't have all of it together. We can still pull Wolverine Origins on you guys at any given time.
Right. We'll never not be able to do that. We'll do that all the time.
Origins more than this.
Yeah.
You know what? I would have to see Wolverine Origins again. I just remember like, hating that, too. It's like the weird CG Professor X thing. Oh, get into my shuttle! You know, it's like, what is this movie?
Why is this happening, Patrick Stewart?
Yeah. But you know what? It's really strange. Like, why? I think people who aren't going to be critical, or who aren't critics or dissect films, or who just went to go see Fantastic Four, like, I just want to see the Fantastic Four. And then they see this movie. They're not thinking about all these things that we're thinking about.
Yeah,
you're right.
What they're doing is just experiencing it and then seeing it, and then that's why you hate it at the end, because you're like, it totally did the wrong thing. It fell apart and imploded on itself, and then had the shittiest ending where they're like all like hanging out at their new fucking
club. My two favorite moments are the moment I knew the movie was going to go downhill was when I knew he was called Victor Domashev, and then they cut to a piece of paper. We're like, Victor Von Doom. And it was clearly like they insert Doom, and someone off camera, every time they said Doom, it was off camera. Yeah. They're like, Doom! What? And then at the end of the movie, they're like, how did we get our name? And he's like, I got it.
I know.
What?
Yeah.
And they were just hanging out in Avengers Mansion.
It worked for Age of Ultron, where he's like, Avengers! Yeah. And it cuts off. Yeah. But it didn't work here.
No.
Not at all.
And I think it's a difference of like, Age of Ultron earned it. For whatever its problems were, whatever else, they earned that ending. Where you're just like, yeah, Avengers should have said, what I say it? Come on! But like, Fantastic Four did not earn that ending. It felt out of tone, where it's like,
absolutely,
guys, I've got it. And they're like, tell it to us. Okay, hold on.
Well, because you're not working towards a happy ending.
Yeah.
You're like about to, and then you don't.
Yeah.
Like, and this movie didn't feel like we'd ever climax. Well, it just didn't have anything going for it.
Everything that was in the trailers is not in the movie. And that's even the weirder. Everything. Even the Reed Richards and Dr. Doom. What's coming? Change is coming. Not that. That's not coming.
Yeah, that's
not
coming
in the fucking movie.
And like the entire thing, action set.
All
piece,
of it.
None of that's in there.
And you know, it's where they're like, well, budgetarily, we didn't have the money to. But
you clearly designed
it. It's in the trailer,
It's in the trailer. Yeah. You
and
made
they
it.
Showed it in the background. There's so many scenes where there's like action happening in TV screens. I'm like, guys, you clearly shot something. Yeah. I see.
Cut to full screen
it's
on that,
right
you
there.
Morons.
Like, what are you doing showing this movie where people are talking about action? I've never seen a superhero movie that advertised it as an action movie, then a drama, then an action movie, that released it with one action set piece that was awful.
Yes.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
I legitimately feel bad for Trank, too, because,
he's not going to work for a...
Well, he's not... Like, this is going to hurt him for a long time. And, like, I really don't feel like... Like, maybe some of it was his fault, but, like, it would be his fault in the same way that it would be any other director's fault for making, like they're, this a, it's a work of art for anyone, and artists are going to make mistakes.
And
so
it's
like,
a huge commentary
that
on Twitter.
Like, that can be forgiven. Like, mistakes can be forgiven. What happened with him is he had his movie, like, shanghaied by executives who didn't trust him for whatever reason, and we'll probably never see whatever cut he made.
No. Yeah, there won't be a director's cut, but, you know, when they hire, like, two different directors behind someone's back, that's what I heard. It's like, it's like, obviously they were like, well, look, we don't trust what you're doing. You know,
but they still bought it. They still signed off on it at some point. So at one time, like, so was there an executive shuffle and like these new execs came in? They're like, what is this? Or like, Like, what happened? Well, like, it's a mess.
What is interesting to me is that they didn't want, he didn't want Miles Teller for Fantastic. I mean, he wanted Miles Teller for Fantastic Four. The studio didn't.
Yeah.
He didn't want Kate Mara. And you can almost feel that at points in the movie, and that's not appropriate. Like, that's not how you direct actors. If a studio is the money, you have to respect that.
Sure.
But then the studio not respecting you as a director is another problem altogether. And then this movie yielded all the worst of all those possible scenarios.
Right.
Everyone was fighting together. That's what making movies is all about. Like, it's not just compromise, but it's everyone on the same page.
And 2015 is the age of transparency. That Twitter that he should never have tweeted, all the articles reading about EW, all these people coming out from the crew that are saying what insane things were happening on set. Right. He was like hiding in a tent and watching dailies. Like, you can't do that in this day and age and expect to get away with it. So I don't think he'll work again.
Oh, he will. He will.
I mean, not soon. I mean, like in the next 5, 10 years.
Believe me, he'll probably have a job in the next year.
You think?
Yeah, because it's like, it's not, he did a movie called Chronicle.
He did.
Which
it's
was
amazing.
Pretty fantastic. So that's the whole reason he got Fantastic Four.
Right.
This movie's obviously been meddled with. It's a giant. Giant failure, giant bomb. A lot of things didn't work right on it. All he has to do is make one kick-ass indie film in the next 2 years. It's all forgotten.
Hopefully, Miles Teller, he's great.
And I think that's important, is going back for him into that indie, you know, area where he's comfortable, because that's the other thing too, is with these superhero films, as much as it's cool to direct them, you have to understand what you're signing away in terms of creativity.
And time as well. Yeah. You know, 3 to 4 years. Like, that's why he's not doing Star Wars. Mm-hmm. It was probably a combination of, you know, Kinberg is working on both and there's problems and this and that. And then you realize, I'm signing on to another 4 years of possible meddling and weird, you know. So it makes sense.
Go watch Chronicle.
Exactly. It was just a mess.
It was just crowdsource mess. Chronicle too.
Yeah, let's get
people will pay for that.
Yeah,
and it was so disappointing because the first act was so good. You're like, not so good, but you're like,
the first act was really not 8%.
This is fun. Enjoying this popcorn. Then 1 year later, and you're like,
turned into bugs.
Oh no!
I must eat the bugs butt first.
No,
they're all still alive.
And then the third act is the bugs crawling out of you and eating you.
How did I
digest them? They're still alive.
And then you look like that Dr. Doom.
Yeah,
and that's how you end up looking like that Dr. Doom.
My cape is made of bugs.
The writer of Chronicle, Max, wrote the first 4 pages of his pitch of Fantastic Four and published them. He's wrote a whole script, but the first 4 are online. If you want to see that, which could have been the Chronicle Fantastic Four we almost got, check them out online.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're awesome.
We'll have Landis on eventually.
We'll have Max on soon,
hopefully.
Max Landis, doesn't he write like 400 screenplays every day?
Max's script.
He's like a whirling dervish of creativity.
Max will talk to you and be writing. Max will be like gathering this conversation and typing in his phone. And be like, oh, I just wrote this dialogue scene that's incredible. Do you want to read it? And you're like, bro, we were talking.
He's a fun guy. He met with me a couple years ago just to talk screenwriting and writing in general. He's like, how many screenplays have you written? I was like, like 2, 3, 4. He's like, no, you're not there yet. And I was like, wait, but that's so much work. He goes, dude, I wrote like 100 screenplays before I got a manager to look at me, and I wrote another 100 before they signed me. I was like,
he is so prolific.
Oh, God, I'm so screwed.
And he just cranks them out, man. And they're always
consistent. That guy's a genius.
Yeah. They're really good.
That guy's a genius.
I can't tell you on this.
Yeah, that's why I'm looking forward to American Ultra.
Yeah, this weekend, see American Ultra.
Go see American
Ultra.
It's
an original idea, guys. They still make them.
Wait, an original movie? I don't know what that is.
Blasphemy.
What is that, witchcraft? It's not based off anything but an idea.
No!
Yeah.
Can't be true.
I know. We can't have it, you guys.
It's secretly a remake of some 1950s, you know,
it's some
romance
Cold
film.
War film.
It's like a documentary
noir
of
remake.
Kristen Stewart and Jesse Eisenberg turned into a movie.
It's a remake of The Man from Ant, right?
Oh, yeah.
Get Out.
Get Out. I'm glad you threw yourself out there.
Aww.
There's a first.
So, Fantastic Four, we've gotten all the vitriol out. We need to move on.
Yes. I think we can.
All right. So Hugh Jackman is talking Sabretooth and Berserker rages. He was talking to the Daily Telegraph.
Mm-hmm.
I remember a couple weeks ago he tweeted out like wanting fan suggestions for what they wanted. He said there were lots of calls for Victor Creed to come back. And there were lots of calls for Berserker Rage to come out. So I don't know if that means they're definitely putting it into the film. But then he tweeted out at Liv Schreiber something about like getting back to work and getting into shape for Wolverine.
Nice.
And Liv Schreiber was like, is it Liv or Leave?
Leave.
I'm saying it wrong. Sorry, Mr. Schreiber. Liv Schreiber's like, oh, do I have to? And a lot of people are taking that to mean like, oh, he's saying like, do I gotta do that? Because I know I actually have to. So it's all speculation. It's not actual news. We don't know what's coming up, but
I would love to see Sabretooth back. I've been dying for a Berserker.
But I think that's why I believe that it'll be Liev Schreiber, because they didn't say Sabretooth. They said Victor Creed.
Yeah.
He was never called Sabretooth in the movie, the Origins movie.
Oh, that's a good point. That's a very good point, So going along with that, we also have Patrick Stewart was talking about being in Wolverine 3. I would be happy to do into old age with more X-Men. Something tells me from what I've read that Hugh said it may be over soon. I don't know what the studio would think about that. We'll see. He's a terrific character, but I'm looking forward to, if what I've been told is true, a different version of Charles. So he will be playing a different version of Charles Xavier in Wolverine 3. Don't know what that means.
He's got adamantium legs.
He's cruising along.
He's walking around.
They're going to put a wig on him, and he's going to be Cassandra Nova.
Oh.
I would watch that so hard.
It's a reverse Tilda Swinton.
Yeah. Well, you switched up.
My favorite is that he then, in the same interview, Patrick Stewart went on to say, and the idea of an old Wolverine talking about old man Logan, I'm really looking forward to seeing Hugh Jackman getting old. You know, damn him, he looks so great, but I'm happy to see him covering up prosthetics, you know? So it sounds like Patrick Stewart has also heard the rumor of Old Man Logan.
Yeah. Right. Which could be an alternate universe thing, and that could be why Xavier's different.
Mm-hmm. Well, Old Man Logan is not going to be anything like the comic book.
There's no way. They don't own any
billion
of that.
Rights issues. Yeah.
Hawkeye's is his bro, and Hawkeye doesn't clearly.
And they drive the spider buggy down there.
And the Hulks are the villains?
My favorite thing is spider buggy. It's like, I've never seen that in a comic book.
And Hulk's the big bad, so how do you possibly,
Right.
What's the antagonist?
The mutant hillbilly Hulk. So you're like, that's frightening.
Yeah, dude,
you
know? Go for it.
Yeah,
man.
That is terrifying.
I wish Ang Lee made that as a movie.
Yeah,
hillbilly Hulk.
George Miller's Old Man Logan.
Yeah,
Mad Max meets Old Man Logan, starring Mel Gibson as Old Man Logan.
What do you guys? Yes. What do you guys think? I know this is a Marvel show. But what do you guys think about George Miller directing Man of Steel 2? Is that going to change?
Oh,
you,
sign
you
me
haters
up, man.
Yeah.
Oh,
no,
I'd pre-order my tickets now.
A little bird told me that's happening.
We had the Justice League that was so close to existing. I'd be all about it.
That would. I mean, I love the Nolan Batman films. Yeah. They're my favorite, and that would bring me back to the DC movie universe.
Yeah. I think, because a lot of people remember he was on set on Batman v Superman. People were like, maybe he's going to do Aquaman. Sorry. He's going to do Man of Steel. He's doing Man of Steel, too, because Zack Snyder's doing Justice League
stuff. Yeah.
So it would be a phase transfer, kind of Russo's to Whedon. I'd love if George Miller handled that on DC.
Yeah. Totally makes sense. Yeah. I would be all about that.
I'd transfer.
That's exciting.
I'd be on the DC show a lot more.
Right?
If ever. I'd be so excited.
I wouldn't be on their show. I'm just
those
kidding.
Guys
I love those
watching
guys.
Now.
I love those guys. They'll be coming up right
guys,
after us.
Guys, they're all comic books. Why can't
I know. Why
I know.
Can't
we
all
get
along?
I'm trying, man. I'm starting. I'm reading DC now. I'm getting into it. I'm trying.
I'm excited for Aquaman. I'm just going to say that. But I love
you know what? I'm one of those people who do not want it to be called Aquaman.
No.
What do you want it to be called?
King of Atlantis.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Dude, they call it Man of Steel.
Yeah.
It was instead of Superman. So, I know it's called Superman.
Man of Steel, King of Atlantis.
Yeah. It's just Aquaman is Waterman.
Yeah.
It bothers me inherently, just language-wise.
Because
it
also
superhero,
it locks him
Superman.
Down to, Aqua.
It's goofy.
It is.
It's straight up dumb.
And it doesn't work in the world they've built.
Dumb.
Yeah.
It's like if he came out as I'm the king of Atlantis or whatever, however he's going to talk. He would never call himself that.
That's true.
Someone else
would
introduce him as the king of Atlantis.
Batman's
detective of greatness. They're all of technology.
I loved Jeff Johns' run on Aquaman too, where he acknowledged the whole world was like, "Wait, you're Aquaman," and then he was like a badass.
Yeah.
I loved it. So
check this out.
And Jeff Johns is killing it as a TV writer.
Mm-hmm.
On the plane, I hadn't watched Flash yet, and I was like, everyone's like, "It's really good," and I was like, "It's really good." I watched it in the first five episodes, and all my friends are like, "Those are the worst of the whole." They said the first five are the worst. I was like, I can't wait to watch the other 15 now.
Yeah. DC TV is incredible. I consistently vouch for DC TV.
Yeah. Arrow's been great. Flash was amazing.
Robbie's awesome as Firestorm. Go, Robbie.
Yeah. Your friend.
Yeah.
So let's jump over to X-Men Apocalypse, where we got a rumor this week that Blob might be appearing in X-Men Apocalypse.
Why not?
Yeah. So
why
excited.
Why not? Yeah.
Perfect. Everyone is.
He killed it in Wolverine Origins.
Yeah.
So, right?
Yeah. Can't wait. So according to this, apparently it's a French-Canadian dude who is 540 pounds.
Amazing.
Well, so there are no prosthetics.
They're going to find the guy.
They're finding a real fat dude.
They had this... I don't know who this guy is, but he visited this set and he got a little necklace or whatever and Instagrammed it. It was like, I can't believe I got to see these guys and this was awesome. Oh, and Blob was there too. And everyone's like, wait, what? What?
How does this not violate every NDA in the history of
filmmaking? Know what? It's one of those scenes Blob was there. He's going to be X-Men Days of Future Past where he had one. Yeah. And he might say eating a fucking triple cheeseburger.
Yeah,
with you. Shut up, Blob. Or they say his real name.
Yeah.
Whatever Blob's real name is.
Fred Dukes, I think. Yeah.
Listen, Dukes. you know, I've had enough of you and your clown antics. Or,
and, yeah. Well, someone's trying to push him.
Well, it's almost the exact same thing that they did in the Wolverine movie.
Yeah.
Was that the origins, right?
He was like a boxer. And, like, mm-hmm. he had
two scenes.
Yeah.
He's probably not even going to have that
They'll
much
They'll give him
in
Colossus and X-Men 1 treatment, where he's just going to be, like, painting, but leading yeah. instead. Well, like,
it actually makes sense to have him appear, because if they end up doing anything Brotherhood of Evil Mutants,
right.
yeah. you know, I think he'll have maybe a sizable cameo, because
I don't
works.
See a 540-pound man doing much.
Here's a big one.
So probably sitting around.
Do you think Taylor Swift is Dazzler in...
We hope so.
I heard that it's not the case. I heard that, like, Simon Kinberg... I think that's who the picture was with, is just a giant fan of Taylor Swift mm-hmm. and went to the concert and got a picture with her backstage.
But doesn't it make total sense?
Oh, my God.
It's the 80s. They could go to a club and she could just be on in the background.
I would
in like
love
a
it.
Weird roller derby
and
scene.
And, like, just lights exploding
lights
all
exploding.
Around her and she's just, like, shooting them
the
off.
The perfect cameo.
Yeah, I would love it. And, like, they don't do anything with it. They're just like, hey, what's up? And there's Dazzler. Yeah. She's on stage dancing with Blob. That's so weird. Like...
I didn't see that coming. I mean, I miss in the 80s movies where they had the current pop stars of the day on as like the like you know
like in Thunderdome
right yeah I would love if T-Swift was just our little like pop in time so I can look back in 20 years like Taylor Swift that was a weird thing
that was a thing that
I
happened.
Need that in my life
yeah so anyway yeah we've I'm the Blob.
God, I really hope he looks like that and wears that outfit.
Me too.
Yeah, if he is really like 550 pounds, you could probably punch your fist into his blubberiness and it will hold on.
Yeah.
It will hold.
It will hold. Yeah.
You might have to have him separate his fat folds and then put your hand into one of the folds.
No CG.
That would be all extra
no
moist and wet. It's all real.
Sweaty. We did it all practical.
That's a different kind of sweat.
I think you get like
that's a sweat of a different moisture.
I think you get like super sweat. Stunt pay for that, right?
Oh yeah.
West like double tail, wet pay, stunt pay.
That's golden hour and double time combined.
Yeah.
Put your hand into the moldy, moist flesh pocket.
Get inside that man.
Yes. Crawl inside the Blob.
Fold your fists inside of his folds.
His folds are for you.
This is why it's Hugh Jackman's last run as Wolverine. Yeah. They said I had to put my fist in a man.
Yeah. I'm done.
They made me fist a 540-pound
friend. Not a special effect. It's totally real.
Okay.
All
okay.
practical.
Moving on.
X-Men fully 3. Practical. Yeah.
Moving on. So jumping over to Netflix real quick, we've got John Bernthal was seen on set as the Punisher. I mean, it's
awesome.
Yes. Yeah.
Just awesome to see. Like, we're getting a Punisher. We're getting Punisher. And we're getting Punisher for like 13 episodes.
Look at how amazing he looks.
He looks like the John Romita Jr. Punisher.
Yeah.
He's got
perfect
that
for me.
Crunchy nose, that thickness.
Is he also the dog?
John Bernthal's an amazing actor.
Oh my god.
Actor.
Yeah, he's a
phenomenal
great actor.
Well, and I couldn't get the pictures, but when the vest is off, the sweat stains look like the skull.
No.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
If you go to Just Jared and look it up, you can see it. But it's it's pretty spectacular.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really looking forward to season two. They're going to also introduce Elektra, and they're probably going to have a little more crossover with Jessica Jones and Luke Cage. So,
And then Jessica Jones episode titles leaked. I don't want to give them out because I'm afraid of spoilers, whatever. But you can find them online if you just type in Jessica Jones episode.
You can't tell them to us right now?
I chose not to, so I don't have them written down. I can find them real quick, but I just
haven't heard of them.
I know.
You haven't heard
it.
Of them?
No. They announced, but I didn't click on it. But I like I said,
spoilers make me want to see things more.
We also are at the 40-minute mark, and we've got to push on to D23 talk
right,
real quick.
So look at it like you rubes.
Sorry, guys. So Meredith is going to lead a quick discussion on D23 real fast.
Real quick, Matt Key's going to lose himself when he's. Doctor Strange.
I've heard that it looks like
it's,
that.
Yeah. So
is that true?
So there has been nothing shot yet. They don't start shooting until December.
But
they did a concept art trailer. We do see the red cloak. We see some muted colors
does
in his suit.
Does it have this? And does it have the eye? Did you see the eye?
I didn't see the eye.
But the eye has to be there.
He probably has to get it. He has to go in and become friends with Agamotto.
Yeah.
Remember, it's a living entity.
That's true.
Going to be augmented CG, so I don't want to reveal just some.
Yeah.
All right, so you saw it, and you know about the DC, or I'm sorry, the Marvel universe.
Yes.
Because I was talking to people who've never read Doctor Strange, and they're like, I saw all these cool things.
The fools!
Now, were the mindless ones in there? When we went into the other realms and they showed artwork.
Okay, there is so much phenomenal stuff that I couldn't take note because I'm not the big Doctor Strange fan. So I actually have only started reading Doctor Strange because of him.
Okay.
But we see Baron Mordo.
Right. Mordo.
Played
by... Baron Mordo, played by Chiwetel Ejiofor. Yeah.
We see, I will say it looks like the concept art of Tilda is going to be as a woman. Nice. We definitely saw that, so that's looking pretty fantastic.
What color was the bolt at the end that they showed? They showed him shooting a bolt.
He's got yellow. Not bolts, but the energy's coming out of his hands. He also has a trench coat outfit, which looked really. I actually liked it. It was very much more. Kind of remind me of some of the stuff in Secret Wars.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
It looks really fantastic. So that was super quick.
Here's a question: the artwork that they showed of his outfit, were there like three different drawings of?
It was not the one that was floating.
Okay, that's what I was wondering.
Yeah.
I was hoping it was.
Yeah, it was not.
At least then I could have seen it, but when I saw the reports coming out that like they were like, oh no, it's like original with the blue and the cloak.
Right. I was like, that's not what the other thing looked like.
No, it's the stuff that I thought had come out of South Africa was not.
I'm so excited.
It was, it was amazing. I would have traded places if you were with me that day. I would have been like, here you go.
I am still very disappointed that I was not able to get in.
Well, you know what? This footage will eventually be released at another convention or something else. We'll just have to wait for it. So.
I think they want to put a trailer. I think we'll get a trailer at Civil War. I mean, they'll probably be the soonest.
Far away.
It is.
I don't want to wait.
I feel like that. I know it needs to come out. And then, but speaking of Civil War, guys, dude. So Feige came out and he brought out Falcon.
Yeah.
And then he introduced Chris Evans. They'd flown in the night before from Germany with only a week left. So they're done. As of this point, they're pretty much done. They'll wrap up this weekend. Yeah. Done shooting Civil War. It's all going to be in the can. And then Cap introduced some amazing footage. Like, absolutely fucking standing. Sorry, you've got me cursing now.
Hey.
I know. I try to keep this. Don't fucking blame me. I know. I got this show going PG. So, first off, we get to see an awesome fight with Crossbones. He's down there. He's taunting Falcon and Cap. And then they go down to fight. Black Widow comes busting in. It's like, it's amazing. It's so freaking amazing. She's kind of like, I will say she's a little bit secondary, but it's really about Cap and Crossbones. I love you're so enwrapped on. This is so good. And then we get to see we actually kind of get a breakdown of who's going to fall on what side.
Really?
So pretty much, Umberto was pretty much on score with that. Tony Stark, he shows up and he's super unhappy about some crap with Cap. Mm-hmm. He's just like, I'm done. This is it. Yes. Hello. Okay. Thank you. That was our ghost, apparently. Better than the fly situation we had last year. Hawkeye and Black Widow are definitely not seeing eye to eye at all.
Hey, what was the dialogue? Like, I've heard different reports about the dialogue when they're fighting. They're like rolling around and somebody's like, are we still going to have dinner? Is like, or something. Was it jokey?
Oh, it was super jokey.
Because I think I read a couple places where they say something like, are we still going to be friends after this? And then Hawkeye says, it depends on how hard you hit me or something like that.
Now that sounds better than, as long as we're, dinner on Friday.
It definitely wasn't like that. No.
If it was like that, I was like, come on, man.
No, don't do that.
It reminded me of the comics. It was quippy. Cool. It was totally quippy. It was on point. It wasn't forced like I felt Age of Ultron was.
Yeah.
It was fantastic. The best part, though, was when Black Panther shows up.
How does that describe that sequence?
Please. Black Panther.
Tell us in detail.
For the people who did not see this
picture.
So we get to see him in his entire getup. We get to see, I'm assuming it's Chitwell or Boswick, Chadwick Boseman. I'm assuming it's him in that suit. Looks fantastic. Sorry, I'm trying to like go through my notes because you don't know this, but I was in an accident last year and I have really bad short-term memory.
Oh, wow. Sorry to hear
that. Yeah, no, it's okay. So that's why I always have to like reference things. I didn't get it. I didn't write it all, Mike, because I was trying to keep super spoiler away. But basically, we do get to see a huge fight scene between them. It's amazing. Everyone thought Peter was going to show up. He did not. Yeah. So I'm really sorry about that. But
I was fooled.
I know. He was not there.
Oh, yeah, there was. And I was like, oh, I think this might be real. I even posted it to the Marvel news page. I was like, is this real?
Yeah. I got fell a few people saying, and it was like an Iron Spider moment. I was like,
I gotta say, Anthony Mackie is awesome. And I'm so happy he has such a great role in Ant-Man.
Yeah.
He has like a couple of scenes in Ant-Man that just almost steal the movie.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And him on stage, I've seen the footage of him and Chris Evans, and they're like camaraderie and they're bros.
Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Also,
they're total bros. Yeah. It's
Scarlet Witch's costume guys from the end of Age of Ultron. Mm-hmm. That was,
looks great.
Dude. It's amazing. Like, the costumes are so on point for this. Right. So, yeah, it was really good. I'm so sorry I couldn't give a better recap. No, I thought I'd written
great,
better.
Great. What's funny is that I've barely given the Civil War any thought because I just can't get past Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
That's all I care about.
Honestly, for me, like, I'm as excited for the Civil War movie as the Batman v Superman film.
Yeah.
It's like, it's great that, how do we beat next year?
Deadpool's starting it off, so for me, it's
crazy.
Deadpool.
I mean, there's like 8 movies next year, and it's just literally... hopefully at least 6 of them are incredible. It's cool to have 2. I don't mind if 2 of them suck, as long as we get 6 amazing. This year we only had like 3 superhero movies.
Yeah.
And one of them was fantastic.
And I kind of we had 4 if you want to say Kingsman, because that's based off of the Secret Service. It's a comic book.
That was my favorite comic movie this year.
Oh, it was so much
Kingsman's
fun.
Kingsman's beat everything for me. Yeah. That and Mad Max, my 2 favorites of the year.
Yeah. It makes you sing Freebird in a different way now. Yeah. Now I just want to see people die when I hear the word.
That's Arcle
word.
Head yeah, explosions.
That's right.
In
slow motion.
Do we get Guardians 2 next year, or is that 2017?
No, that's 2017, I believe. Same year as we get Spider-Man, I think.
Yeah.
So... but we start with Deadpool and then we end with Doctor Strange. Next year's a good year.
Good year. That's
next year's
insane,
a very good
man.
Year.
And hopefully they take a cue from Deadpool's suit for Spider-Man.
Yeah. Mm. Yes, Meredith.
Oh, no. I was like, I bet we'll get something. We'll get Civil War on Star Wars. Never mind.
Definitely December.
Anyway, we need to start wrapping it up. So
I got some shout-outs.
Give us some shout-outs.
All right. So I wasn't here last week, so I got 2 weeks of speed shout-outs.
Do it fast.
I want to shout out to... I am a camera 24, great name. Big Ush, I don't know what that means. Habua, sure. Smef, great review though, Habua. Smef3y, it was lengthy and I appreciated it. Very good wording. L Hayden, awesome. Doughboy129, solid. Eddie, 3D4M4N. I think you were drunk and just pressed your keyboard a lot. Mexi Dan, strong. And lastly, HDM1999 Hunter Dink.
Yeah,
your mother was a bold woman. I don't know what that naming was, but thank you guys. Those were all great. You're all really helpful. Like even the stuff that gives us critiques, it really helps us bring a better show to you guys. So keep it up.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love it.
And Twitter. I love Twitter. So stuff.
We got some great Twitter
shout-outs. Yeah, we got some great
Twitter. All right. Mocking James, thank you so much. And thank you for tweeting about us. That's super rad. Max Russell from the UK. Love you. Johnny Cross is back. We also had Lone Wolf Pack and Pablo, and want to give a big, big happy birthday to Juan.
Simply Juan.
Simply Juan.
I would also like to point out that Alice at Between the Sheets wrote an awesome review of our show on her website. Between Screams.
Between Screams.
Did I say
What's
Between
her boyfriend's
Sheets?
Name?
Yeah, you did. Between the Sheets.
Mark Shaw, I believe is his name.
So we
got to
shout him out too because he's a huge fan
as
well.
So shout out to Mark Shaw. Can we get a sexy shout out for both of them, Koi?
Mark Shaw and... What's her name?
Alice
Between
Mark
Shaw
Between Screams. And Alice Between the Sheets. Appreciating
Between Screams.
Our show. No, Sexy, Between,
sexy
the sheets.
Between the Sheets. All right.
Appreciate you guys. Not really. You wrote an article about us.
Yeah,
that's
great.
Really cool.
And you're in the UK, so thank you.
Mocking James Greeny, I think you've written reviews for us on the UK iTunes. We haven't gotten them, but I know you've been doing it, so thank you, man. And Carlos Rivera, shout out to you guys, too. And happy birthday, Juan.
Yeah, happy birthday. Comics that you want to recommend that have come out? Any comic that you want to recommend? Old, new, current, whatever.
I'm currently waiting for issue 5 of Nameless, which is Grant Morrison and Chris Burnham's sci-fi horror space epic. And it's one of those, like when you get a comic book series and then the artist is really slow, Chris Burnham, and they're taking on other jobs.
Make you wait.
Chris Burnham, and they make you wait. Chris Burnham, fucking finish that goddamn series, so that I can finish reading it. And then you get money, dude. You get collected into a paperback, and all those other nerds are gonna buy it just like me. Like I spent all the money on the individual issues, and I'm gonna rebuy it. Fucking assholes.
That's zeal.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right.
I would highly recommend that.
Okay.
And that's a great
recommendation for me. So I have it at home. I just haven't started it yet. So. Coy?
I'm going to do two Sir Orr's books because they're killing it. I'm really enjoying the Civil War II. It's really smart. It's handled well. The art's gorgeous. And it's a great way to imagine the story carried on from the last Civil War. A lot of the Secret Wars I'm loving every one of them, but they don't all feel like the same tone of the old comics that they're based on. This one feels like a continuation. It's sexy. Mm. It's awesome. 1872 is my biggest surprise of Secret Wars because I expected so little from it, and drunk Midwest Iron Man and Captain America as a sheriff are killing it. Great books. And everyone go see American Ultra in theaters this weekend.
Yeah. Meredith?
I'm really digging Rat Queens. It's back. Tess Fowler is the new artist on it. She's fantastic. She's also local to us, so she's super rad.
Should have her come on.
Yeah, she's in our extended circle.
Sure.
House of M came out. If you love the original House of M, maybe not pick this one up.
Oh,
if you expect it to be the same. I'm not saying it's bad. It was a fun read. Fair. It's just the characterization of Scarlet Witch is a little too shrewish for me. So,
okay.
But what they're doing to some of the outside characters, and especially her kids, Billy and little Speedster, it's really good. Really, really, you know, it's a fun read. The art's a little wonky at times, but what they're doing with it with Magneto is one of the best I've seen.
Okay.
So,
I've been going back and reading the Ultimate Spider-Man series like from the very, very beginning, and
still one of my favorites. Ever.
Still, just like I'm like I think around issue 20 in like 2 weeks, and I'm just loving it. So I haven't been able to catch up on comics for the last week, but Ultimate Spider-Man is what I've been reading, and it's great. Anyway, Snap, do you have anything you want to say before we close our show out?
Yeah, you guys can go and either buy a digital download or get a Blu-ray of my movie, The Death of Superman Lives. What Happened, by going to www.tdoslwh.com, and that just stands for The Death of Superman Lives.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, tdoslwh.com. You can find the movie there, digital download or Blu-ray. And you guys can always watch me on Collider Movie Talk. I'm on every day, and then I do my Heroes show, which you guys have to come on as guests.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Anytime.
Cram all of you on. Collider Heroes, it's on every Tuesday.
Anytime you want to talk Doctor Strange.
Yeah. Deadpool.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
X-Men.
Yep.
Right on.
Yeah. Got it.
We got it.
Yeah, just a shout out to everyone who worked on the film with me. My close friends, Holly, Marie, Jason, Rob, Chris. Very small crew, but you guys rock.
And nice. So,
that's awesome.
Okay.
I'll see you guys at Comic-Cons in the future.
Nice. All right. Well, we've got to close the show out. So that's our show. Thanks for joining us. Special thanks to our prize sponsor, Where's the World of Conventions. They've got Chicago this weekend. It's their giant, big Mama Jamma show.
Like
they've
half
got Jeremy
my
Renner
Facebook
there.
Feed
yeah,
is talking
yeah,
about
I know.
It.
San Jose, September 4th, 5th, and 6th, and then Pittsburgh, September 11th, 12th, and 13th. Sorry we didn't get a chance to get to like a question of the week or anything, but we had Schnepp on, so we didn't want to take time to do that.
Sorry, guys.
Please don't forget to subscribe to our show on iTunes, Marvel Movie News, rate us and leave us a comment, or on YouTube through the Popcorn Talk Network. Comment and thumbs up. It keeps us coming back to you. You can also find us on Facebook / Marvel News Show. Or on Twitter at Marvel News PTN. I'm Matt Key
Placco at M Placco, and find me the first weekend of September in Houston at Amazing Houston Comic Con.
Okay.
I'm Coy Jondro at Coy Jondro, and buy a ticket to American Ultra if you're going to see Fantastic Four.
And I'm John Schnepp, and you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at John Schnepp.
And that's our show. Thank you very much.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only, and not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.